As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
Yes, and the sun is rising over Missouri, folks, and it's time once again for a Show Me Showdown. We got breakfast on the table, coffee brewing on the stove, and there's a revolution in the air. Be a part of it. Welcome to the Wednesday, April Fool's Day, April the 1st, 2009, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. Hope I'm not the fool today. Coming to you Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. We've got a couple little websites you might want to check out, vocallocal.org and ozarksvoter.info. Especially of note on vocallocal.org is an interesting document, Plan B. Another way of looking at government, if you will. But my name is William Roberts, and I've got good news, I suppose. Hard facts, certainly lots of that, and we'll look at some workable solutions for you as well today. If you can't remember the last time you experienced the pursuit of happiness, then you're definitely in the right place at the right time to become vocal local. I like to think of this as the home of philosophical radicalism, where freedom is popular and remains the best hope for America. Interactive Talk Radio is the name of the game, and to be a part of today's broadcast, you can sign in, pick a name, and become vocal local in the OracleBroadcasting.com chat room, or pick up the telephone and call in to join us live on air. That number will be 512-904-8014. And from around America and around the world, you can also call in toll-free at 866-841-1065, and your calls are always welcome. You may also send your ideas for guests, show topics, and news to me via email, as many have done, at host@vocallocal.org. That's host@vocallocal.org. So simple. Again, those websites are vocallocal.org and ozarksvoter.info. The listener call-in number remains 866-841-1065. Jot it down. You can also find that any time during the broadcast on the oraclebroadcasting.com homepage. And, of course, the Oracle chat room is open. Just log on, bookmark that area in there. Go in, pick a name, go in anonymously, however you like, and join the chat there. Gold today remains resilient in the $920 range, despite the European Central Bank's 35-ton sale yesterday. We'll talk about that. The G20 meeting in the City of London, the police seem to be outnumbering the protesters. We'll go there. Government regulation and intervention. We'll look at the International Interstate Commerce Commission. We may be able to get to commercial paper for once today. And, of course, we'll take your calls and much more. But before we do that, let's do this. Let's go into the active trading, the stock market report, and gold and other things today. Wednesday, April the 1st, 2009. Active trading in New York City as of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Gold was trading up $10.70, $928.70. Silver up a little bit, up 8 cents, trading at $13.05, struggling to stay above the $13 mark. Platinum up $2 at $1,127 for a troy ounce of platinum. Palladium about flat at $214. The Dow Jones Industrial Average closed yesterday up 86.90 points, trading at 76.08.92. The NASDAQ was up and closed yesterday 26.79 at 1,528.59. The U.S. dollar index trading off 6 basis points so far in today's trading at 85.51. Crude oil, light sweet crude. How crude can you get? Down $1.25, trading at $48.41 a barrel. The lows and the highs in the gold stock market so far, or the gold market so far, the spot market, $915.80 is the low, $934 is the high. So you're looking at about $15 in there, $19. We'll be right back. Stay with us here on Become Vocal Local.
Learn how how to empower yourself and stop being a victim today.
You can practice complete banking secrecy, all while protecting your money and maintaining complete control over your finances.
The book Privacy Crisis has nearly 400 carefully researched pages that will teach you how to
live beneath the radar, escape stalkers, outwit identity thieves, prevent government phone tapping, stop criminals from hacking into your computer, make your money and assets invisible, stop wage garnishments, get a permanent driver's license, and much, much more.
You can sign up for Grant Hall's free info series at privacycrisis.com. Each course outlines powerful and proven strategies from one of the world's top privacy experts.
Here's your chance to begin learning what the pros know at privacycrisis.com. That website again is privacycrisis.com.
Hi folks, Doug Owen here for TexasTeamSpeak.com, one of the world's largest authorized TeamSpeak host providers on the net. TeamSpeak is a voice over IP teleconferencing solution that consists of both client and server-side software. The TeamSpeak server acts as a host to multiple client connections capable of handling literally thousands of simultaneous users and works in a variety of applications, such as teammates speaking with one another while playing their favorite online video game, small businesses cutting costs on long-distance charges, or for personal communication with friends and family. With TeamSpeak, you can easily stay connected with your fellow group members or start a special group to invite others to join. Whether you seek a private communication medium or would prefer to host a server open to the public, TeamSpeak is an ideal solution to help communicate your interests with others online. When a word is worth 1,000 keystrokes, use TexasTeamSpeak.com.
They say that you could travel the world without leaving your home through the pages of a book. Adventures Unlimited brings you all the adventures that you could imagine when you travel through the pages of their books. Adventures Unlimited carries an eclectic diversity of subjects such as alternative health and science, free energy, ancient history, Native American studies, and much, much more. Get away from the daily grind, unwind, and feed your mind to free your mind. Explore any topic you wish at AdventuresUnlimitedPress.com. They're not only an online bookstore, but have stores located around the world and have been in business for over 2 decades. Adventures Unlimited Press, your own world of information is only a page away.
Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to the Wednesday, April the 1st, 2009, two-hour broadcast to Become Vocal Local. My name is William Roberts. In the previous segment, we went through a little bit of the market report for today. It seems that gold is up about $10.70, trading at 928. And the lows and the highs in the market, which is where we stopped, was 915.80 for a low, 934.50, a $19 spread. Year to year, it's up $45, and that's 5.09% ROI, if you will, looking at it that way. So it depends day to day to day to day. Some days we see that we're down $15 and $3 over and up and down and back and forth, and the percentage gains. It all depends on where you bought in. And if you have not gotten into a ownership position or a possession, personal physical possession, position on gold and silver coin and that sort of thing, well, then all of this is just kind of an indicator, or it's like taking your pulse in the morning. So you can take it for, you know, with a grain of salt, if you will. I don't sell gold or silver. I have no interest in that. I just bring it out and let you know what's going down. In the foreign exchange rates, again, today, the Canadian dollar is running about 79 cents. It's been coming up and down a little bit here, a little bit there. But if you look at the go up on the internet, one of the sites that I visit on a regular basis, in fact, I start my day there every day, is www.kitco. And you have to be careful because there's a mask or a following site. But if you type it in KITCO, you'll come up on the right one. If you type it in KITKO, then you're going to come up on this alternate site, which just is a smokescreen. But Kitco.com is an interesting place to go for me each day. But their charts there, when they follow the currencies, the foreign exchange rates, they carried out to 4 points after the decimal. And it's in that 4 points after the decimal of these, of the actual exchange rate that you can track and see, where things are actually moving. The moves are often very slight, very tiny little moves. But when you're talking about billions and billions, then those little billions of bits start to add up to money real quick. The Mexican peso trading about $7. It takes 14.0410 pesos to buy a dollar. So you can fill up your pocket with pesos at 7 cents a piece today. Euros, you're going to have to dig a little deeper, $1.33, and the British pound, $1.44 U.S. So that's the market today. Just as a, before we go into the rest of the news, I would like to inform those of you that are smokers that there's been a big change, as you probably have been quite well aware of. But for those people out there that don't smoke tobacco or use chewing tobacco or anything like that, they may be unaware of this egregious tax hike, if you will. This reaching into pockets, this beating hell out of a minority people, the people in the country that that enjoy the use of tobacco. Certainly none of the government's business whether we use tobacco or whether we don't use, but they seem to like to isolate or focus in on tobacco users as the a big whipping boy. They come in and they bully around the tobacco users with all of these various egregious taxes to fund all manner of specious socialist programming. Well, they hit us again. Now, I'm going to share with you just a little bit. This is a notice that I picked up at the tobacco shop yesterday. I had a couple of different comments in the chat rooms that indicated that the reminded me that this price hike was going up. I knew it was coming. So anyway, after the broadcast, I made a phone call to my local tobacco shop, and yes, indeed, and in fact, prices were going to become astronomical on the products that I enjoy. And so I deedied out of here and made great haste and got to the tobacco shop in time. Nevertheless, here's the notice that they had up on the door and in, on the counter. It goes like this. Federal tobacco tax increase. On Wednesday, the February the 4th, President Barry the Usurper, of course they didn't say that, but I will. President Barry the Usurper, now I don't even call him the president, the usurper signed the State Children's Health Insurance Program Reauthorization Act of 2009. That would be H.R. 2. The Children's Health, the State Children's Health, the State Children's Health. Who do the children belong to here? The state, obviously. The State Children's Health Insurance Program Reauthorization Act of 2009, which increases the federal excise on cigarettes by 62 cents per pack. That goes up to $1.01 per pack of federal excise tax on a package of cigarettes, 20 cigarettes in a packet if you're not a smoker, a nickel a stick, if you will, to fund the $32.8 billion expansion of the State Children's Health Insurance Program Reauthorization Act of 2009. How delightful. Before Barry the Usurper, the unqualified one, signed the bill, the House cleared and the Senate passed S-CHIP version 290 to 135. That was the vote count, 290 to 135, with 40 Republicans voting for this piece of draconian socialist legislation. Retailers should be aware that the legislation assesses a floor stocks tax on all manufacturers, wholesalers and retailers for tobacco products, except large cigars, in inventory on April the 1st of 2009, with the floor stocks payable by August the 1st, 2009, and each retailer will receive a $500 credit toward the floor stocks tax. However, this is a $500 credit per retail company, not a $500 credit per store. Additionally, the legislation raises the tax, effective today, on large cigars up to $40 or 40.26 cents per cigar. 40.26 cents per cigar. Little cigars to $1.0066 per pack. Pipe tobacco to $2.83 per pound. So pipe tobacco went up $2.83 per pound. Unusual there, is it not? Chewing tobacco to 50.33 cents per pound. Snuff to $1.51 per pound. And roll your own cigar wrappers to $24.78 per pound. That's a tax. $24, new tax. $24.78 per pound of rolling tobacco. Cigarette papers to $3.15 per 50 papers. 3 cents per 50 papers. You know how small a cigarette, you know how thin a cigarette paper is? 3 cents tax on that. And cigarette tubes, a lot of people use tubes because they don't facilitate rolling very easily. And cigarette tubes do 6.3 cents per 50 tubes. Just to give you a little bit of an idea of how that impacts people, like myself, for instance, I've been rolling my cigarettes for years. Used to be able to get rolling tobacco for $10.50 a pound. It's now about $40. We'll be back.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, "Information is the currency of democracy. Trine Day brings to you what some don't want you to read today." Dr. Mary's Monk is a book of profound importance. It helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilder lands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book, exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
Okay, now we're back once again right here on Become Vocal Local, talking before the break about this H.R. 2, this Barry the Usurper signed this State Children's Health Insurance Program Reauthorization Act of 2009 into a law here. You know, there's 290 representatives that voted for this thing. This ought to be their very last term in office. There's just no question about it. But if you go back into this article, you know, there's just the disparagements here between these various products and the amount of tax. There's no equity, if you will, in this. There's no proportionate, you know, representation in any of this. This is just simply taxation without representation. To single out, let's say, people that roll their own cigarettes, there is a great benefit to rolling your own cigarettes, folks, if you like to smoke cigarettes. And I do. I didn't smoke for about 7 or 8 years, but there wasn't a day in those 7 or 8 years that I didn't think about cigarettes. I've been a smoker ever since I was a child, basically started huffing these things up by taking the banker butts out of my mama's ashtray. But nevertheless, like it or don't like it, none of your business whether I smoke or not. If my smoking bothers you, either ask me to leave your house or I'll ask you to leave my house. It's your choice. And I certainly, if there was some kind of legislation that came down that made it difficult for me to smoke in my town or in my state or wherever, I would be packing up, putting up for sale signs and leaving. That kind of an affront on my liberty is not tolerable by me. Anyway, you take a look at the advantages of smoking, of rolling your own cigarettes. You can buy organically grown, no pesticide, pesticide-free, no chemical additive tobacco, oftentimes from you have to go to the Indian reservation to get it, you know, basically because there's no common sense left in this country unless you're dealing with the aboriginals. The Native Americans seem to have a little bit of intelligence. But anyway, been enjoying a variety of different brands from them. by the pound, about $10.50 a pound. And to see a tax of $24.78 per pack, or excuse me, per pound on that tobacco product is unbelievable. It's unbelievable. It's like coming in and placing a bread tax on bread, for instance. You're paying $3 a pound, $3 for a loaf of bread, and they put a $8 tax on a $3 loaf of bread to bring it up to $11, you'd understand what I'm talking about here. All right, this is absolutely unacceptable. And apparently, one of the chatters mentioned that there wasn't a very strong lobby for people that roll their own cigarettes, and so they get to take the brunt of this tax. What's the advantage of staying away from these factory-made cigarettes that are loaded up with all kinds of burning additives and saltpeter and who knows what else? Let's just tell you, in case you're not a smoker, you can roll a organically grown, even just a non-chemically additive tobacco cigarette and light it, and you'll hear me throughout the broadcast flicking my Zippo lighter. But you light a cigarette that you roll yourself out of this kind of tobacco, you take a puff on it, and it's going to go out in about 30 seconds. You light one of these chemical poison sticks that they sell today from one of the commercial manufacturers, a tailor-made, as they used to say. You light it, and it will burn from that first spark all the way into the filter in a couple of minutes or less, whether you touch it again or not. Huge difference. I drive about 40-some miles to a town to shop most of the time, to replenish my larder, if you will, and I can make that journey comfortably with one or two of my home roll smokes. If I were to try and have a cigarette in driving to town, I enjoy smoking most all of the time, got one around me. It would take probably half a pack of cigarettes just to make that drive. You just light them, and they just go right straight to the filter in record time. So you know they can't be tobacco. They don't perform like tobacco. They don't even respond like tobacco. So what's in there? Anyway, much more on that. We're going to go into something parallel to that, but first let's go back in and finish up the financial news. Gold, this off the Reuters, gold steadies as traders eye the G20 for direction. Now, whether they're going to have any direction coming out of the G20 today or not is to be seen. But gold was steady in Europe on Wednesday as traders awaited direction from this week's G20 summit in London, with the firmer dollar versus the euro curbing interest in the precious metal. Any excuse is a good excuse when you're looking for an excuse. But as I said in the beginning of the broadcast, gold seems to be remaining very resilient in the 920 range, despite of all of the manipulation. There's a very strong demand for the precious metals right now. Bullion ended again the first quarter up this year, 4%, boosted by fears that measures to stimulate the global economy would lead to a rise in inflation. We've been talking about inflation. Government has the tendency of causing inflation, nothing else. Spot gold was little changed at 919 to 921 an ounce yesterday, late in New York on Tuesday. Trading is expected to be mute ahead of Thursday's meeting of G20 leaders, and that's pretty much the way I'm seeing it. We've got about a $15, $19 spread in the gold markets today, but it's been hanging in there pretty steady, right in that $920 mark. Everybody's kind of waiting to see, so to speak. They say the author here, Jan Harvey, says, the market is looking for guidance, and if the G20 can't provide that, risk aversion will obviously continue, and that will have an impact on the gold on the upside. And that is likely to be very true. Many of the newsletter writers and the analysts are saying that after the G20 meeting, you can expect a rise and perhaps a substantial spike in gold prices. We'll see. I don't know. I don't have a crystal ball. Of all the things I brought with me from Seattle when I moved back to the Ozarks in the 90s, the two things I miss most was my crystal ball and my board stretchers. It seems every time I buy a board or need a board, it's always an inch short. Anyway, don't have that crystal ball with me any longer either. Traders are also awaiting an interest rate decision from the European Central Bank on Thursday and Friday's U.S. non-farm payrolls data for direction. So we'll see on Thursday and Friday, tomorrow and Friday, if they get any kind of information that makes the markets move in different ways. Here's an important part, however. Traders said the gold's failure to build on the gains it posted last quarter on fears of the inflation outlook and the strong inflows into exchange-traded funds, such as the New York's SPDR Gold Trust, is also weighing on prices. So it's this influx, this inflow. The buying up of gold by this SPDR Gold Trust is also weighing on prices. Now, I think I'm basically one of the only people or one of the first people that started talking about this thing on air. Couldn't get anybody to really respond to it on air, but now they're talking. Now the other writers are talking about it. They're having to face this pachyderm, as I like to say, this 10,000-pound pachyderm that happens to be doing pirouettes on the parlor piano. This thing has tremendous potential, whether they have gold in physical possession or not. And no, I don't believe it's being held in South Korea. It says right on their website that the custodian is in London. It's in England. Whether they have actually purchased gold or whether they're just playing funny with it, it doesn't matter. Whenever they come into the market, you can see great spikes and drops in the marketplace. If they have the opportunity, if they have the ability, if their pockets are deep enough and their hands are strong enough, they could do devastation in the gold markets, I believe. The European Central Bank said it completed the sale of 35.5 tons of gold on Tuesday. However, the news had little impact on price. Now, if you looked at the charts yesterday, you'll see that there was a very erratic period of time starting about 6 o'clock in the morning, my time, and that might have been the European Central Bank buying 35 tons or selling it. We'll be back. Stay with us.
You are now listening to Oracle Broadcasting, the home of cutting edge talk radio.
Hey Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail. It is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products, including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
Are you one of the people who think, I have plenty of time, nothing's ever going to happen bad to me? Do you believe that when your cupboards are bare, our corporate-controlled government will jump right in to feed you and yours? Do you have at least a year's supply of food for your family? This is Kurt, the armchair survivalist, heard on this network. Survival Enterprises sells real food, canned for long-term storage. Beef, chicken, turkey, bacon, butter, cheese, eggs, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, Mountain House freeze-dried meals, MREs, a full nutritional line, the British Birkfeld water filter, and more. If you want to prepare now, go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us. Or call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or you can put your head in the sand and be just another sheeple in the corporate-controlled flock. But remember, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it.
Learn how to empower yourself and stop being a victim today.
You can practice complete banking secrecy, all while protecting your money and maintaining complete control over your finances.
The book Privacy Crisis has nearly 400 carefully researched pages that will teach you how to
live beneath the radar, escape stalkers, outwit identity thieves, prevent government phone tapping, stop criminals from hacking into your computer, make your money and assets invisible, stop wage garnishments, get a permanent driver's license, and much, much more.
You can sign up for Grant Hall's free info series at privacycrisis.com. Each course outlines powerful and proven strategies from one of the world's top privacy experts.
Here's your chance to begin learning what the pros know at privacycrisis.com. That website again is privacycrisis.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And once again, those call-in numbers are 512-904-8014 in the Austin area, those that have unlimited long distance or don't mind paying the toll. And internationally, around America and around the world, you can call in toll-free at 866-841-1065. And I see our call center is working today, so you can call in if you like. We can talk about any of the things we're discussing on the broadcast or whatever might be on your mind today. Of course, if you've waited today to rush out and buy your tobacco, you're too late, because you're going to have to bear the brunt of these taxes. Needless to say, anybody that came into the tobacco shop in near the town near me found empty shelves. After I left, there wasn't any rolling tobacco left. But and I apologize to those that were maybe captured in their workplace and weren't able to get to the tobacco shop before I got there, but I'll be damned if I'm going to pay that kind of a tax, and so I loaded up. Let's just say I backed up the truck and cleaned out the tobacco shop. Nevertheless, let's go back into this a little bit further. ECB, that would be the European Central Bank, sells 35.5 tons of gold. The European Central Bank said Wednesday, that would be today, that it had completed sales of 35.5 tons of gold under the terms of a 2004 central bank agreement. While the European Central Bank did not provide financial details of the sale, with gold prices at around $920 an ounce, the latest sales would have a value on the order of $1.15 billion. That would be 870 million euros. That's quite a lot of gold being sold into the market. Now, did physical gold come onto the market? We looked, like I said, if you go back up on Kitco, K-I-T-C-O.com, there's other sites. but it just happens to be a convenient site. It's laid out for those that follow various indicators, especially gold and silver. They have charts there, and you can click on the gold, the 24-hour chart. It's over on the right-hand side of their page in the right column near the top of the page, and click on that, and it'll give you a three-day spread, three charts in a row. Today's being developed, yesterday's as it closed, and the day before that. You can see tomorrow, yesterday, when this sale was probably happening, and today, you can see yesterday that there was some tremendous activity that came in and really made a major bump. But at 35.5 tons, it pales in comparison to the 1,574 tons, the last number that I have for the SPDR Gold Trust. It pales by comparison. You can imagine what they could do to the marketplace coming in and putting 1,500 ton of gold on the market overnight. Could make a dramatic change, could it not? Analysts said that they could only speculate on what the money raised might be used for, while noting that the sales were part of a normal procedure. Among the possibilities were funding for International Monetary Fund assistance to countries in need of compensation for losses the ECB might face in connection with the bankruptcy of the U.S. investment bank Lehman Brothers in September, or for the collapse of the Icelandic banking sector that followed. Where do you think the money's going to go, folks? Lehman Brothers or the Icelandic banks? I'd imagine that the countries in need of, are going to be, the developing countries are probably going to be at the end of the list here. And just dropping down through this article, clearly the European Central Bank is accumulating ammunition for further unconventional measures they will decide to undertake. The central bank is expected to cut its key interest rates below the current all-time low of 1.50% on Thursday. That would be tomorrow. And analysts say it could decide to venture onto new ground, such as the eventual purchase of corporate debt. So we can see that we might be seeing the European Central Bank following the idiocy of our Federal Reserve Bank. We'll see. As far as the G20 meeting itself is concerned, London protesters begin marches to demonstrate against the G20. This by Thomas Penny and Brian Lizott, Bloomberg. As of today, thousands of protesters converged on the Bank of England in demonstrations aimed at bankers and world leaders participating in the Group of 20 summit meetings in the UK capital. Marches set off from the four railway stations that serve the city's financial district at 11 a.m. London time and arrived outside the bank just before noon. Police expect about 2,000 to attend, while organizers are hoping for more. Now look at the disparagements here. Pre-summit talks started with a visit by Barry the Usurper to Prime Minister Gordon Brown, Gordy's Downing Street residence early today. This week's operation may be the biggest for the UK's Capital Police since the hunt for failed suicide bombers in July 2005. Many workers dressed casually, spurning traditional business suits as they heeded warnings to avoid becoming targets for protesters. About 5,000 officers were deployed in November of 2003, when Jorge Bush came to London for a state visit. About 10,000 police officers will be on duty throughout this week to oversee the protests to ensure world leaders who will be meeting tomorrow at the Excel Center in the east of the city remain safe. Do the math for yourself. That's 5 police officers for every protester. I would imagine things will probably stay quite calm in London. Let's go on to another article. Obama said to find bankruptcy likely for GM and Chrysler. This by John Hughes, again out of Bloomberg. Barry the Usurper believes a quick negotiated bankruptcy is the most likely way for General Motors Corporation to restructure and become a competitive automaker. People familiar with the matter said. That's your specious, unnamed expert say. An analyst said. Scientists report. And in this case, just simply, people familiar with the matter said. So this is really a third party story, isn't it? Hearsay, to say the least. Obama also is prepared to let Chrysler LLC go bankrupt and be sold off piecemeal. if the third largest U.S. automaker can't form an alliance with Fiat. Seems he might be pushing it into, you know, Chrysler Fiat, you know, Chrysler Daimler Fiat. Said members of Congress who were briefed on the GM and Chrysler situation before the president said 2 days ago that the automaker's viability plans were insufficient. The president gave GM 60 days to come up with deeper cost and debt reductions than the biggest U.S. automaker proposed in his plan submitted last month. The quick and surgical bankruptcy his administration said was also an option which appears to be inevitable, and that said the members of Congress and two other people familiar with the matter. That would be probably the janitor and the handman in the restroom. Obama personally signed off on asking GM Executive Officer Rick Wagoner to step down, which he did on March the 29th. A GM bankruptcy would mark the fall of a corporate icon that as recently as 2004 posted a $2.8 billion profit and in 1962 controlled 51% of the domestic car market, 1 year after they built the beautiful 61 Chevrolet Carryall that I have parked in my driveway that still runs perfectly. Stocks fall. GM shares in Germany were trading down 3% at the equivalent of $1.88 as of 9:24 a.m. local time. The stock has lost 39% this year, giving a value of $1.18 billion. The president's position has not changed, a White House official said. He remains committed to a significant restructuring without a bankruptcy, if at all possible, blah, 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 and it goes on and on. Let's go over and get a little bit more intelligent discussion going here. Go back to this book, Free to Choose. You know, if you don't have this book in your library, you might look into it. You can also get all of their writings in a separate, all of Friedman's writings in a separate book. I found it in the Chicago Press catalog that came the other day to my mailbox. But this little book is called Free to Choose, A Personal Statement, Milton and Rose Friedman. Came into my library, donated several years back, really quite a few years back, but it just kind of wound up on its in a little box with other books to read, and it was only recently, after I started this broadcast, that I was digging through that box and decided to read it. I'm so glad I did, and I have finished it now. But anyway, this Free to Choose, A Personal Statement, Milton and Rose Friedman published, this was actually a Book of the Month Club type of a book, but this was copyrighted in 1980, originally in 1979. And here we are in the page 192 in a Who Protects the Consumer chapter. This chapter is directed to who protects the consumer. And it has a lot of interesting stuff in it, but I'll just pick it up here. Ralph Nader's attack on the Corvair. Can you all remember that? And, of course, you remember Ralph Nader, the poster boy of the last election cycle. Ralph Nader's attack on the Corvair. The most dramatic single episode in the campaign to discredit the products of private industry exemplifies not only the effectiveness of that campaign, but also how misleading it has been. You see, we the people are subject to this kind of special interest pressure lobbying, just as we've seen in the tobacco. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Doug Owen here for TexasTeamSpeak.com, one of the world's largest authorized TeamSpeak host providers on the net. TeamSpeak is a voice over IP teleconferencing solution that consists of both client and server-side software. The TeamSpeak server acts as a host to multiple client connections capable of handling literally thousands of simultaneous users and works in a variety of applications, such as teammates speaking with one another while playing their favorite online video game, small businesses cutting costs on long-distance charges, or for personal communication with friends and family. With TeamSpeak, you can easily stay connected with your fellow group members or start a special group to invite others to join. Whether you seek a private communication medium or would prefer to host a server open to the public, TeamSpeak is an ideal solution to help communicate your interests with others online. When a word is worth 1,000 keystrokes, use TexasTeamSpeak.com.
They say that
travel the world without leaving your home through the pages of a book. Adventures Unlimited brings you all the adventures that you could imagine when you travel through the pages of their books. Adventures Unlimited carries an eclectic diversity of subjects such as alternative health and science, free energy, ancient history, Native American studies, and much, much more. Get away from the daily grind, unwind, and feed your mind to free your mind. Explore any topic you wish at AdventuresUnlimitedPress.com. They're not only an online bookstore, but have stores located around the world and have been in business for over 2 decades. Adventures Unlimited Press, your own world of information is only a page away.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
And we have returned right here on Become Vocal Local. Thank you, Carlos. I sure love that lick. Anyway, hope you enjoyed it as well. Trying to keep a cap on my basic anger here. Every time I look at this, I should take this thing off the table, because when I look at this little notice here about the tobacco tax, it just infuriates me. It throws me into a white rage. A rage. When I realize how much money every single year is extorted out of me for the children, other people's children, I'm not even married, I have no children, other people's children, how much is extorted out of me every year for the children, it really fries me, especially since there's no way of escaping these kinds of draconian measures. There's certainly an equality of outcome happening here, a socialist police state, if you will, as opposed to equality of opportunity, and I'd like to see us return to the latter. Back to this greeny weenie here, Ralph Nader. I really don't care for the fellow. He's intelligent. I've listened to him. I listened to the campaign speeches. He did have some things to offer, but I really don't care for the fellow. Really don't. And I was rather fond of Corvairs too, although I never owned one. I think they're a beautiful little car. I had a Pontiac Tempest with half of a 318 slant motor on a transaxle. Really a nice, zippy little economical car. Very comfortable to ride in. There were several attempts being made at that time to develop automobiles that we could drive affordably that would be strong competition against the inroads that were being made by the Volkswagen, and Honda was coming on the line and those things. Nevertheless, there were certain people like Nader here who just couldn't keep his mouth shut in regards to the Corvair. And so let's find out more a little about that, and then we'll see what happens from there. Once again, Ralph Nader's attack on the Corvair, the most dramatic single episode in the campaign to discredit the products of private industry, exemplified not only the effectiveness of that campaign, but also how misleading it has been. Some 10 years after Nader castigated the Corvair as unsafe at any speed, that was his words, that was the slogan, unsafe at any speed. One of the agencies that was set up in response to the subsequent public outcry finally got round to testing the Corvair that started the whole thing. They spent a year and a half comparing the performance of the Corvair with the performance of other comparable vehicles, and they concluded, quote, the 1960 to 1963 Corvair compared favorably with the other contemporary vehicles used in the test, close quote. Apparently, we're not exactly unsafe at any speed. Nowadays, Corvair fan clubs exist throughout the country, and yes, they do. And Corvairs have become collector's items, and in the 70s and 80s, yes, in fact, they were then and they are today. But to most people, even the well-informed, the Corvair is still, quote-unquote, unsafe at any speed, thanks to Ralph Nader. The railroad industry and the automobile industry offer an excellent illustration of the difference between a governmentally regulated industry protected from competition and a private industry subjected to the full rigors of competition. So at the time of the writing here, Mr. Friedman was looking at the automotive industry as a private industry subjected to the full rigors of competition, and he was looking at the railroads as having already succumbed to the socialist and had become governmentally regulated industries. Now, both industries serve the same market and ultimately provide the same service, transportation. One industry is backward and inefficient and displays little innovation. The major exception was the replacement of the steam engine by the diesel. The freight cars being pulled by the diesels today are hardly distinguishable from those that were pulled by the steam engines of an earlier era. Passenger service is slower and less satisfactory today than it was 50 years ago. The railroads are losing money and are in the process of being taken over by the government, and I must say they are. The automobile industry, on the other hand, spurred by competition from home and abroad and free to innovate, has made tremendous strides introducing one innovation after another, so that the cars of 50 years ago are museum pieces. Yes, they are museum pieces. And in my opinion, a far better automobile than those made today. But nevertheless, let's continue. The consumers have benefited, and so have the workers and the stockholders in the automobile industry. Impressive and tragic, because the automobile industry is now rapidly being converted into a governmentally regulated industry. We can see the development that hobbled railroads occurring before our very eyes to automobiles. A little bit prescient there, wouldn't you think? Many years ahead of his time, and here we find ourselves in the turn of a stomach in the 21st century, as our stomachs turn, witnessing the destruction of the last of our automobile industries and the conversion to state-operated companies, if you will, public-private partnerships. Government intervention in the marketplace is subject to laws of its own. Key points here now. Not legislated laws, but scientific laws. In other words, I'll say it again, government intervention in the marketplace is subject to laws of its own. Not legislated laws, but scientific laws. It obeys forces and goes in directions that may have little relationship to the intentions or the desires of its initiators or supporters. Government intervention. There are certain things you can, it's predictable. There are certain laws economic laws that you can track out. When government does this, then this happens. If then propositions. If this, then that. Hypotheses and all of that logical stuff. We've already examined this process in connection with welfare activity. It's present equally when government intervenes in the marketplace, whether to protect consumers against high prices or shoddy goods, to promote their safety, or to preserve the environment. Every act of intervention establishes positions of power. How that power will be used and for what purposes depends far more on the people who are in the best position to get control of that power and what their purposes are than on the aims and objectives of the initial sponsors of the intervention. What forms of power are going to be created by this new tobacco tax? What positions of power, what commissions, what powers are operating, the principalities and powers and operating in the darkness, what powers are operating here, what powers are being concentrated here? Think of the amount of money generated here and the various people that will be appointed and set over to distribute other people's money to other people's causes. how fraught that is with graft and corruption. The potentials there are dramatic. Let's go into this a little bit further. The Interstate Commerce Commission, dated from 1887, was the first agency established largely through a political crusade led by many self-proclaimed representatives of the consumer, the Ralph Naders of their day. It has gone through several life cycles and has been exhaustively studied and analyzed. It provides an excellent example to illustrate the natural history of government intervention in the marketplace. And earlier this week, or late last, I read the natural history of government intervention according to Milton Friedman, and we'll close hopefully there somewhere today. Well, let's continue. I want to get to the details here, because I want you to see how these various commissions and boards and councils rise up out of the darkness, if you will. You've got the goody-goodies, the goody-two-shoes, the greeny-weenies, the sustainable mercenaries, the ringing hanky crowd. You've got them, and they come in. I should have gone into the whole article there. I really should have gone into the whole article there on G20, because a lot of the demonstrators that are out are demonstrating at the climate control exchange that Al Gore and Maurice Strong and Barry the Usurper business, the only two, there's one in New York, there's one over there in England, bloody old England. They work together, but a lot of the demonstrators are going there to protest against the carbon credit, the climate change scheme. But it is out of these protests and demonstrations and hand-wringing and the women standing along the sidewalk swinging their purses, you know, looking for other forms of equality and suffrage and things like that. It was out of all of that, when government responds to that, it's out of all of that that these new commissions come in. And very, very rarely do the ones that are swinging the purse ever wind up on those boards or councils. And the outcome is very rarely ever what they had asked for. But it's the old Hegelian dialectic, problem, reaction, solution. We'll pick it up on the other side, folks. For more of today's broadcast, be with us as we move into hour number two. We'll be back.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, "Information is the currency of democracy. Trine Day brings to you what some don't want you to read today." Dr. Mary's Monk is a book of profound importance that helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
Of the 3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
History will always remember those strong choice. You're listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network. Long live the revolution.
As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to the Wednesday, April Fool's Day, April the 1st, 2009, two-hour broadcast to Become Vocal Local. As we begin our second hour, in the first hour of today's broadcast, we were talking about market reports and the G20 and a variety of other interesting things, GM and whatnot, and we're going to continue along that direction in the second hour as we go further into understanding how these various different corporations and boards and government interventions have deleterious and oftentimes unseen and untracked consequences. But before we do that, if you value the information you hear on this or any of the broadcasts of Oracle Broadcasting, if you can and as you can, perhaps you'd consider supporting Oracle Broadcasting Network by visiting the www.oraclebroadcasting.com homepage, locate the Chip In banner, and make a generous contribution to keep Oracle on the air, on the web, and growing. And, of course, there's also the Oracle Broadcasting Gear link on the Oracle homepage. And you can go into the store there and view all of the quality Cafe Press products, each emblazoned with the Oracle Broadcasting Network label in your choice or logo in your choice of colors. And you can find T-shirts, golf tees, hoodies, sweats, and many more apparel items in both men's and women's styles and sizes. And for the next time you're out with your favorite canine critter, be sure it's smiling and styling in its own Oracle doggy T-shirt. Any way that you can, please do help Oracle continue bringing you the best news and information that Internet Talk Radio has to offer. There's my little 30-second spot for Oracle. Love the network. Hope you do, too. And remember, please, it does take money to keep this all going, and every little shekel helps. Back into the discussion a little deeper here as we continue reading from Milton and Rose Friedman's personal statement, Free to Choose. And we're in a section that is basically examining, exposing the concept of who protects the consumer. Who protects we the people? In the earlier hour, we talked about this new tobacco tax that came on us and at us as of today to finance and fund another $32.8 billion expansion of the State Children's Health Insurance Program Reauthorization Act of 2009, signed up by Barry the Usurper on the 4th of February, and comes into play on April the Fool's Day. So you see the mirth in their eyes as they were signing up for this piece of draconian legislation. This is another opportunity to understand what our founders warned against. One of the unique features of a constitutionally limited Republican form of representative government. This is not a democracy. But as you can see, as it has gone into this socialist democracy in the last 100 years, this social democrats, democratic socialism, depends on how you look at it, really doesn't make any difference. The terms are reversible. But we have the opportunity for the three wolves and a sheep, for the wolves to constantly prey upon the sheep. And this is what's happened here because of the fact that the people that roll their own cigarettes don't have a strong lobby voice in Washington. They're just crushed under the juggernaut of government legislation, more socialist health care programs. Despicable. Despise it. And I intend to stay busy with fax, phone, and emails for some time. I'm not pleased. And when I get unpleased, I become vocal local. So look out. Coming on you and at you, Bubba. Okay, let's go back into this a little bit further now. We're talking about the Interstate Commerce Commission. And let's pick it up right here. The food and, or just about to go into the Interstate Commerce Commission. Let me drop down here. The Food and Drug Administration, initially established in 1906 in response to the outcry that followed Upton Sinclair's novel, The Jungle. You see how this works, folks? We had Nader in the last segment. Now we've got Upton Sinclair's novel. We'll pick it up on the other side. Stay with us.
Hey,
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail. It is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products, including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
Are you one of the people who think, I have plenty of time, nothing's ever going to happen bad to me? Do you believe that when your cupboards are bare, our corporate-controlled government will jump right in to feed you and yours? Do you have at least a year's supply of food for your family? This is Kurt, the armchair survivalist, heard on this network. Survival Enterprises sells real food, canned for long-term storage. Beef, chicken, turkey, bacon, butter, cheese, eggs, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, Mountain House freeze-dried meals, MREs, a full nutritional line, the British Birkfeld water filter, and more. If you want to prepare now, go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us. Or call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or you can put your head in the sand and be just another sheeple in the corporate controlled flock. But remember, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it.
Learn how to empower yourself and stop being a victim today.
You can practice complete banking secrecy, all while protecting your money and maintaining complete control over your finances.
The book Privacy Crisis has nearly 400 carefully researched pages that will teach you how to
live beneath the radar, escape stalkers, outwit identity thieves, prevent government phone tapping, stop criminals from hacking into your computer, make your money and assets invisible, stop wage garnishments, get a permanent driver's license, and much, much more.
You can sign up for Grant Hall's free info series at privacycrisis.com. Each course outlines powerful and proven strategies from one of the world's top privacy experts.
Here's your chance to begin learning what the pros know at privacycrisis.com. That website again is privacycrisis.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And for those of you just joining us, might have been away on the top of the hour news break and other things at your local micro-broadcaster affiliate station. You're listening to the second hour of Become Vocal Local here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network. My name is William Roberts. We're talking about various ways that pluralism has crept into our system, the power of groups, and the power of groups to change legislation and public opinion and things along that line. Let's go back to where we left off in Rose Friedman's book here, Milton and Rose Friedman's book, Freedom to Choose or Free to Choose, a personal statement. Again, it's the Food and Drug Administration initially established in 1906 in response to the outcry that followed Upton Sinclair's novel, The Jungle, which exposed unsanitary conditions in the Chicago slaughtering and meatpacking houses, has also gone through several cycles. And I'll just jump in right there. And I would ask how many of you know anything at all about living in the country, raising hogs and beef and things like that. And that over the last 30 years, just about all the small butchers, processors, packers, etc., have gone bye-bye. They're no longer here in the country. No longer can you just raise up a couple of pens full of hog and then take the ones that you want to slaughter off to market and have them put down and cleaned and cut up and wrapped up and labeled for your locker and bring it home. Really tough to find anybody to do that these days. Really tough. And to market it, to sell it, forget about it. Tough marketplace. Things are changing. And so you can go back to this 1906 public outcry that followed Upton Sinclair's novel The Jungle, which exposed the unsanitary conditions in the Chicago slaughtering and meatpacking houses, and follow through the various life cycles that came out of that. Aside from its intrinsic interest, it serves as something as a bridge between the earlier specific industry type of regulation and the more recent functional or cross-industry type of regulation because of the changes that occurred in its activities after the 1962, and I might blow this, but I'll say Kefauver Amendments, K-E-F-A-U-V-E-R, Amendments, 1962. Google it, Scroogle it, Dogpilot, Webferret it, or however you browse it up, but browse it up, perhaps, if you will, and look at it, the Kefauver Amendments. Much has happened since then. The Consumer Product Safety Commission, remember, Chapter 7.59 or 69, is it? 759, I think it is. Agenda 21, the promotion of a culture of safety, the development of the safety cult. The Consumer Product Safety Commission, the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, the Environmental Protection Agency, all these exemplify the more recent types of regulatory agencies, cutting across industry and relatively unconcerned with the consumer's pocketbook. A full analysis of them, our authors write, is far beyond our scope, but we discuss briefly how they exemplify the same tendencies, the problems that they always raise for the future. Though intervention in energy by both state and federal governments is of long standing, there was a quantum jump after the OPEC embargo in 1973. Does anyone remember that? And the subsequent quadrupling of the price of crude oil, not to mention the price of gasoline per gallon. Do you remember the long lines? I do. I was working at the time as a driveway salesman for a man, I will keep his name off, but I was working for Chevron, I guess is the way to say that. I'll just leave his name out. There's no reason to. He's recognizable in the city that he lives in, but I was working there as a driveway salesman. Back in the old days when you actually had a service station, I think we had three or four bays, service bays. We sold tires, batteries, tune-ups, all of that work. And I used to book appointment after appointment after appointment for back room right off the front pump block. In those days, if you were lucky, you would get somebody like me to come out and fill your gasoline. And in the city that I was living in at the time, and the rate of activity, rarely was I ever in the building most of the time. I stood out at the pump block and continually filled automobiles with gasoline. But in those days, we actually did the hoods up, all the wheels, all the air in all of the tires, the depth of the tread on all of the tires, checking for missing wheel weights, all of that, checked the battery, used a hygrometer, tested the battery to make sure it was okay, checked all the fluids, the belts, the lights, the lamps, left signal, right signal. We're doing a safety check on every single car that went through there, and I booked a whole bunch of repairs and things in the back room. But in the time that it takes to fill up a car with gasoline, I could just about get a new battery in your car. You might have to wait for another moment or two as I finish the connections. But if I could demonstrate beyond a shadow of a doubt that your battery was shot and it was going to leave you stranded eventually, and perhaps sooner than you would expect, I'd get those batteries right out of the automobile, put a new one in. Found bad tires and things like that, I look at the spare, check all four, figure out how many tires we need to have, see if we have similar ones on the rack. I could do that while the car was filling with gasoline, and off times we just pull you right off of one and into the back bays and put on new tires for you. So there's a whole bunch of things, folks, that have changed as a result of this OPEC embargo in 1973. Much has changed, no doubt about it. So let's continue. If we shall argue that we cannot depend on government intervention to protect us as consumers, what can we depend on? What devices does the market develop for that purpose? And how can they be improved? The Interstate Commerce Commission, here we go. The Civil War was followed by an unprecedented expansion of the railroad, symbolized by the driving of the Golden Spike. Now, we've shared some of this before. The miles of track in the United States exceeded that in all the rest of the world combined. Competition was fierce. The railroad men of the time tried to improve their position by joining together or forming pools. Other members of other pools, and I'm just jumping all over this and racing to the bottom of this page. The other members of the pools in the dark, everybody tried to keep everybody in the dark. And so, hence, such practices arose as secret rebates to favored shippers, discriminatory pricing between regions or commodities. Sooner or later, the price cutting would become known and the pool would collapse. Competition was the fiercest between distant and populous points such as New York and Chicago. Shippers and passengers could choose among a number of alternate routes operated by different railroads and also among the canals that had early covered the land. This goes right back to Henry St. Simon in France. Henry St. Simon fought in the War for Independence here as a commander, if you will, of a French battery of mortars. He was the last one to receive the Order of Cincinnatus from George Washington for meritorious service during that war. And he was the one that came up with these ideas for canals and railroads and things like that. And it was the Rothschilds fighting the Saint Simonians that turned the tide, but there was a credit mobilier of France, and then there was a credit mobilier in the United States. Henry St. Simon was the guy that was eyeballing and thinking about making canals across Panama and other places. Hey, we'll pick it up on the other side and be right back. Stay with us.
Doug Owen here for TexasTeamSpeak.com, one of the world's largest authorized TeamSpeak host providers on the net. TeamSpeak is a voice over IP teleconferencing solution that consists of both client and server-side software. The TeamSpeak server acts as a host to multiple client connections capable of handling literally thousands of simultaneous users and works in a variety of applications, such as teammates speaking with one another while playing their favorite online video game, small businesses cutting costs on long-distance charges, or for personal communication with friends and family. With TeamSpeak, you can easily stay connected with your fellow group members or start a special group to invite others to join. Whether you seek a private communication medium or would prefer to host a server open to the public, TeamSpeak is an ideal solution to help communicate your interests with others online. When a word is worth 1,000 keystrokes, use TexasTeamSpeak.com.
They say that you could travel the world without leaving your home for the pages of a book. Adventures Unlimited brings you all the adventures that you could imagine when you travel through the pages of their books. Adventures Unlimited carries an eclectic diversity of subjects such as alternative health and science, free energy, ancient history, Native American studies, and much, much more. Get away from the daily grind, unwind, and feed your mind to free your mind. Explore any topic you wish at AdventuresUnlimitedPress.com. They're not only an online bookstore, but have stores located around the world and have been in business for over 2 decades. Adventures Unlimited Press, your own world of information is only a page away.
First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Thank you.
And we've returned right here on Become Vocal Local, and I saw a note posting in the chat room, someone's going to get raptured up. You know, I sure hope that the guy that's driving towards me in that semi doesn't get raptured out of the seat of his car or the truck at the wrong moment. That would be dreadful, would it not? Anyway, there are people that do subscribe to that brand of thinking. The Schofield Reference Bible, the Oxford Press, one of the only Bibles that they publish, keeps that rapture concept alive, but I won't go into a rant on that. We'll just stay right where we're at. And also another thing, definitely, again in the chat room. And folks, if you don't go into the chat room, maybe you're busy working on other things. I know sometimes I don't always have the time to sit at the chat room, but it is an interesting place to be during these broadcasts because you get to hear live feedback back and forth between oft times 20 more people in the chat room talking amongst themselves, sometimes about what we're talking about on air, and sometimes in related areas. But with all this angst that's being poured out in London, the whole idea of getting involved with rioting and demonstrating and shouting and, you know, standing on the street corner with your bullhorn trying to bring down the very brick-and-mortar edifice of government, it largely is unproductive. It will sometimes make you feel better, but it can also feed into the collective, if you will, the global anger, the global rage, the global negative emotion. And there are some people who just lap that up. You know, it's like a little mosquito on your arm. They just, you know, the parasites of the world just absolutely love it when they can look out and see angry people, frustrated, functioning at about 30 or 40% of their efficiency. It's so nice to be able to keep people subjected under pressure, fear. Oh, I didn't do it yesterday. We need to do this. We need to include a little bit of doubt, and fear, and worry into our broadcast. Now that we've had our doubt, fear, and worry for the moment, understand that the parasites, these parasitical ones, just feed on doubt and fear and worry, and they love to sow it. They love to have it so. And so we can empower ourselves by rising up and out of that doubt and fear and worry, by projecting the positive, by looking towards a future of ever more and more greater freedom and less tyranny. Empower ourselves. You know, we arm ourselves with knowledge, so to speak. As Francis Bacon said, knowledge is power, but as I say, if power tends to corrupt, that would be Lord Acton, if power tends to corrupt and knowledge is itself power, and if absolute power corrupts absolutely, then we have to ask, does absolute knowledge corrupt absolutely? It's kind of a merger of Lord Acton's statement and Bacon's statement, but knowledge can be powerful. Very powerful. Here's a little bit more from Francis Bacon. Shakespeare, perhaps. The inquiry of truth, which is the lovemaking or wooing of it, the knowledge of truth, which is the presence of it, and the belief of truth, which is the enjoying of it, is the sovereign good of human nature. And so there are those that would like to obfuscate truth, or suppress the truth, suppressio veri, the suppression of truth, the legal maxim, which is a lie, by the way. It's a lie. Suppression of truth then becomes a fraud. But there are those that love to have it, so anyway, trying to stick with some truth here. Let's go back into this Interstate Commerce Commission, because what we're going to see here in this process of everybody trying to find some equality of opportunity in the railroad business, in the industry of the roads, something happened. Something happened on the way to the farm, so to speak. Competition was again fiercest between the distant populous places such as New York and Chicago. Shippers and passengers could choose among a number of alternate routes operated by different railroads and also among the canals that had earlier covered the land. On the other hand, between shorter segments of any one of these routes, for example, between Harrisburg and Pittsburgh, PA, that would be, there might only be one road, the one railroad, and that railroad would have something of a monopoly position, subject only to competition from alternative means of transportation, such as canals or rivers. Naturally, it would take full advantage of its monopoly position wherever it could and charge all that the traffic would bear. So there's certain legitimacy there's certain legitimacy in the consumer complaint department. Consumers are getting raked over the coal by some of these monopolists. And then the people clamor. And then the hammer drops. One of the results here was that the sum of the fares charged for the short hauls, or even for the long, or even for one short haul, was sometimes larger than the total sum for the long haul between two distant points. Again, we're talking about railroads. Doesn't matter. It's applicable, goes across the whole spectrum. Of course, none of the consumers complained about the low prices for the long haul, but they certainly did complain about the prices, the higher prices for the short hauls. And similarly, the favored shippers who got rebates in the secret rate-cutting wars did not complain. But those who failed to get rebates were loud in their complaints about discriminatory pricing. The railroads were the major enterprises of that day, highly visible, highly competitive, linked with Wall Street and the financial East, and they were a steady source of stories of financial manipulation and skullduggery in high places. So all you have to do really is just substitute those newspapers for today's newspapers, and you'll see basically it's the same trouble all the time. That's not a fault of capitalism. It's not a broken economic system. It's basic human nature. Doesn't matter. No matter where you go, there you are. All politics are local. So, again, the railroads were the major enterprises of the day, highly visible, highly competitive, linked with Wall Street and the financial East, and they were a steady source of stories of financial manipulation and skullduggery in high places. And they became a natural target, particularly for the farmers of the Middle West. The Grange movement, which arose in the 1870s, attacked the monopolistic railroads. And they were joined by the Greenback Party, the Farmers Alliance, and so on, all agitating frequently with success at the State House for government control of freight rates and practices. The Populist Party, there's another one of these third parties, this Populist Party, through which William Jennings Bryan rose to fame, called not merely for regulation of the railroads, but for the outright government ownership and operation. Look at the time period, 1870s. Karl Marx is already writing. August Comte is already writing. So much is already happening that's getting the movement of socialism underway in Europe and in America. All of these various utopian fruitcakes, Fruit Loops. The Populist Party, again, through which William Jennings Bryan rose to fame, called not merely for regulation of the railroads, but for the outright government ownership and operation. The cartoonists of that day had a field day depicting the railroads as octopuses, strangling the country and exercising tremendous political influence, which indeed they did. So you could say the same thing now that's happening with GM. You could look at the banks, the insurance companies. No matter how time changes, no matter how the little leaves on the calendar blow across the yard like so many fall leaves, no matter how time changes, things seem to stay the same. Same kinds of agitations, Hegelian dialectic, if you will, problem, reaction, solution, thesis, antithesis, and synthesis. But there's a lot more to Hegel than that. That's just one of the things he discussed. As the campaign against the railroads mounted, some far-sighted railroad men recognized that they could turn it to their advantage. They could use the federal government to enforce their private price-fixing and market-sharing agreements and to protect themselves from state and local governments. They joined the reformers in supporting government regulation. The outcome was the establishment of the Interstate Commerce Commission in 1887. And right now, today, we're considering coming up with some new banking czar. To merge the commercial banks, commercial paper, and the investment banks together under new regulations. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
As America limps on its last legs, a pillar of truth has risen. You're listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, "Information is the currency of democracy." Trine Day brings you what some don't want you to read today. Dr. Mary's Monk is a book of profound importance. It helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book, exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
Of the 3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail. It is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products, including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we have returned once again right here on Become Vocal Local, and the call-in number is 866-841-1065 if you'd like to come and join us live on air. Yes, chatting in the chat room, it is spring in many places, and the blooms are blooming all around the backyard here. I've got little bits of dandelion coming up in bloom. And I can hardly wait to go out and pick a few blossoms and eat them. If you have a good Peterson's Guide, Field Guide, or any of the various books, Dr. Christopher Hill's, for instance, any of the books that are out there that tell you about herbs and herbal remedies and other ways of eating food, there's a bunch in my library. But if you have them and refer to them, you might find, as I did, and I was surprised to find it, that oft times the blossoms have some of the most potent medicine in them. So be careful when you eat flowers, but flowers are good food. After all, the bees seek them out with a vengeance. Buzz, buzz, don't they? Okay, back to our article here. We're looking at the creation of this Interstate Commerce Commission, largely because the Interstate Commerce Commission is a model for many of these various and sundry other commissions that have grown up around us. We live in an administrative state. It hardly is fair to decry government when we're really dealing with something that is not even government. There's lots of difference between the rise of statism and the governments. Governments have been with us forever. But they're certainly subject to overthrow from within. The vampires come in and they suck the lifeblood out of the body politic. They do it from inside, and they do it through these various and sundry bodies and organs that can be created inside and change the entire scope and direction of government. We have an administrative system of law today. We do not really follow our courts at all. anyway, getting back into this, it took about a decade to get the commission into full operation, and by that time the reformers had moved on to their next crusade. See, this is the way that it works in this thesis, antithesis, and synthesis process. You have the professional agitators, perhaps some in London today, and they're agitating for certain reforms and certain changes. And so they pressure and pressure and pressure until something happens. And then the what happens changes, and the special interests move in. Those that were being challenged find themselves really the ones in charge and in power. And so then they just go back and they take up the mantle for their own causes, and the protesters go on to their next crusade. The reformers are always moving along, you see. So anyway, the railroads were only one of their concerns. They'd achieved their objective, and they had no overpowering interest to lead them to do more than cast an occasional glance at the ICC. For the railroad men, the situation was entirely different. Now listen how the transformation occurs. The railroads were their business, their overriding concern, and they were prepared to spend 24 hours a day on it. And who else had the expertise and the staff to run the ICC, the Interstate Commerce Commission? They soon learned how to use the commission to their own advantage. The first commissioner was Thomas Cooley, a lawyer, he's a lawyer again, who represented the railroads for many years. He and his associates sought greater regulatory power from Congress, and that power was granted. As President Cleveland's Attorney General, Richard J. Olney, put it in a letter to a railroad tycoon, Charles E. Perkins, president of the Burlington and Quincy Railroad, only a half dozen years later after the establishment of the ICC, he wrote this: "The commission, as its functions have now been limited by the courts, or is or can be made of great use to the railroads. It satisfies the popular clamor for a government supervision of railroads at the same time that the supervision is almost entirely nominal. Further, the older such a commission gets to be, the more inclined it will be found to take the business and the railroad view of things. It thus becomes a sort of a barrier between the railroad corporations and the people, and a sort of protection against hasty and crude legislation hostile to the railroad's interests. The part of wisdom is not to destroy the commission, but to utilize it." You see how that works? And so you have someone clamoring for something, and a commission is formed. And then the people that were going to be most harmed by the existence of the commission become board members on the commission, and then they turn it to their own use, and they use the commission to create a wall, a firewall, between those angry people, the consumer, and the corporate interest. And it's happened time and time and time again. And the further we go into this public-private partnership nonsense, the more of this we're going to find. These are really little Soviets, much the same as the Politburo. So then the commission solved the long-haul, short-haul problem, and as you'll not be surprised to learn, our author writes, it did so mostly by raising the long-haul routes to equal the sum of the short-haul routes, and everybody except the customer was happy. You see, everybody was concerned that it was so unfair of the monopolists to charge higher rates for their short hauls than the long haul operators did. And so the commission, acquiescing to public pressure, simply raised the rates on the long hauls to match the high rates on the short hauls. Now everyone's happy. Why? Because we have an equality of outcome as opposed to living with and understanding equality of opportunity. Instead of having a free market on the roads and the railroads, we wind up with a managed market or managed trade. You see? Not exactly a solution, was it? As time passed, the commissioner's powers were increased, and it came to exercise closer and closer control over every aspect of the railroad business. In addition, power shifted from direct representatives of the railroad to the growing ICC bureaucracy. Instead of having a constitutionally limited Republican form of representative government, instead we have to have this established two-party political system. and they all of the power has shifted into them. As we've studied the political party structure in the past, we see that the idea, the whole purpose of the political parties is to secure proximity to power, if not the power itself. That's the only reason. It has nothing to do with representing your interest at all. It has to do with being a power broker. And whichever party happens to be leading the day today is the one that is in the greatest proximity to or in the position holding the reins of power. And so their constituency, the main party group, they're the ones that receive all of the great amounts of money from the special interests, from these lobbies. In this case, in the Interstate Commerce Commission, from the railroads. But it's not limited to the railroads. The real threat to the railroads arose in 1920 when trucks emerged as long-distance haulers. Now we have a free market. We're not happy with the high price of railroads. Instead of letting the railroads operate in a free market style and take care of transportation needs, it got to be so expensive that a new system was created. Now, if you're not familiar with the term of a mini land bridge, I am, largely because I knew someone that was a worker at the OOCL, Orient Overseas Container Line. That's where I first heard of the term, a mini land bridge. But that's basically where you bring containers, sealed containers from the Orient, to ports like Seattle and others around the world, or all around the world. And you take them unopened off of a container vessel, and you set them on pallets. They really haven't set on the ground yet. And or you load them onto trucks. And then off they go whisking down the highway on the back of an 18-wheeler's bed. And finally they get berthed somewhere and opened. So they've never really come ashore. So all this time they've really been in Admiralty law, if my understanding of that is correct. And so they're not under other law. But the main thing in all of this is that the trucks came on the scene. And trucks are really much handier than railroads because they can take all kinds of lefts and rights and duck down into neighborhoods and deliver to some business a huge cargo container fresh off the ships from China. Trains don't have that opportunity. Someone is still going to need to offload the trains and then truck it someplace. But in the 1920s, when trucks emerged as long-distance haulers, the artificially high freight rates maintained by the ICC for railroads enabled the trucking industry to grow by leaps and bounds. In other words, there was an opening. There was an opportunity to carve out a new niche in the sandstone wall of life in commerce. It was unregulated. That is, the trucking industry was unregulated and highly competitive, just the way you want it. Anybody with enough capital to buy a truck could go into business. The principal argument used against the railroads in the campaign for government regulation, that they were monopolies that had to be controlled to keep them from exploiting the public, had no validity whatsoever for trucking. It would be hard to find any industry that came closer to satisfying the requirements for what the economists call perfect competition. So we'll pick up that perfect competition and see how that went flying away too when we come back. Stay with us.
Are you one of the people who think, I have plenty of time, nothing's ever going to happen bad to me? Do you believe that when your cupboards are bare, our corporate-controlled government will jump right in to feed you and yours? Do you have at least a year's supply of food for your family? This is Kurt, the armchair survivalist, heard on this network. Survival Enterprises sells real food, canned for long-term storage. Beef, chicken, turkey, bacon, butter, cheese, eggs, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, Mountain House freeze-dried meals, MREs, a full nutritional line, the British Birkfeld water filter, and more. If you want to prepare now, go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us. Or call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or you can put your head in the sand and be just another sheeple in the corporate control clock. But remember, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it.
Learn
learn how to empower yourself and stop being a victim today.
You can practice complete banking secrecy, all while protecting your money and maintaining complete control over your finances.
The book Privacy Crisis has nearly 400 carefully researched pages that will teach you how to
live beneath the radar, escape stalkers, outwit identity thieves, prevent government phone tapping, stop criminals from hacking into your computer, make your money and assets invisible, stop wage garnishments, get a permanent driver's license, and much, much more.
You can sign up for Grant Hall's free info series at privacycrisis.com. Each course outlines powerful and proven strategies from one of the world's top privacy experts.
Here's your chance to begin learning what the pros know at privacycrisis.com. That website again is privacycrisis.com.
Hi folks, Doug Owen here for TexasTeamSpeak.com, one of the world's largest authorized TeamSpeak host providers on the net. TeamSpeak is a voice over IP teleconferencing solution that consists of both client and server-side software. The TeamSpeak server acts as a host to multiple client connections capable of handling literally thousands of simultaneous users and works in a variety of applications, such as teammates speaking with one another while playing their favorite online video game, small businesses cutting costs on long-distance charges, or for personal communication with friends and family. With TeamSpeak, you can easily stay connected with your fellow group members or start a special group to invite others to join. Whether you seek a private communication medium or would prefer to host a server open to the public, TeamSpeak is an ideal solution to help communicate your interests with others online. When a word is worth 1,000 keystrokes, use TexasTeamSpeak.com.
And we've returned for the last segment of today's broadcast. And as a heads up and program note, on Friday, I hope to be joined by Mel Hallett. And we're going to go into this concept of sustainable development and the overthrow of aquifers and water restrictions and bottling water and sucking water and trucking water and things like that. It should prove to be a rather stimulating discussion. She has specific on-ground knowledge of what's happening out in her area in Salida, Colorado. So I look forward to having her join me as my first guest on Become Vocal Local here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network. And certainly, I hope that to be the first of many good guests brought on air for your benefit. But I hope you'll join us on Friday morning. That should be very interesting. I'm looking forward to that discussion. Going back into this and closing out the hour and the last of this little bit here now. So we've seen this transformation. What was affected with a plum, if you will, with the railroad business now turns its ugly head and goes after trucking. And as we said in the previous segment, the economists looked at the trucking situation and called it perfect competition. In other words, anybody that had their shekels, anybody that could come up with the silver could buy a truck and get into the business. And the more power to you, because as you have all seen, there's plenty of room on the roads for many, many trucks. The railroad story was repeated for trucking. Let's see. I have to give this other paragraph first. But that did not stop the railroads from agitating to have long-distance trucking brought under the control of the Interstate Commerce Commission. Okay, you see? So the trucking guys started coming into the picture, and the railroads got their shorts in a bunch, didn't like the competition, and so they agitated to have the long-distance trucking brought under the control of the Interstate Commerce Commission, and they succeeded. The Motor Carrier Act of 1935, and I think we should all go back and check that one out. I haven't yet, but I intend to do that. The Motor Carrier Act of 1935 gave the Interstate Commerce Commission jurisdiction over the truckers, of course, to protect the railroads, not the consumers. Always works this way. The railroad story was repeated for trucking. It was cartelized, rates were fixed, routes assigned. As the trucking industry grew, the representatives of the truckers came to have more and more influence on the commission and gradually came to replace railroad representatives as the dominant force. You see, so the new business forced out the old business, and so the railroad hacks got pushed off the commission. The ICC became as much an agency devoted to protecting the trucking industry from the railroads and non-regulated trucks as to protecting the railroads against the trucks. With it all, there was an overlay simply protecting its own bureaucracy. In order to operate as an interstate public carrier, a trucking company must have a certificate of public convenience and necessity issued by the ICC. Out of some 89,000 initial applications for such certificates after the passage of the Motor Carrier Act of 1935, the ICC approved only about 27,000, or about a third. Since that time, the commission has been very reluctant to grant new competitive authority. Moreover, mergers and failures of existing trucking firms have reduced the number of such firms from over 25,000 in 1939 to 14,648 in 1974. At the same time, the tons shipped by regulated trucks in intercity service have increased from 25.5 million in 1938 to 698.1 million in 1972. A 27-fold increase. So you can see the power, potentially, that lies in these various commissions and boards. They come in sounding all warm and fuzzy, and also cozy, and let's put a cap on carbon emissions. But allow a few decades to go by, and the story shifts. And in one day, in the stroke of a pen, you can impose a $24.78 per pound excise tax on a single pound of rolling tobacco, because there wasn't a strong enough lobby to oppose it, as happened today. Anyway, the certificates can be bought and sold. Here's another quote. The growth in traffic, the decline in the number of firms, and the discouragement of rate competition by rate bureaus and the ICC practices have increased the value of the certificates considerably. So in previous sections of this book and in subsequent sections of their book, The Freedom to Choose, or Free to Choose, the Freedmans, they go through all of these various niche builders, these various groups that and individuals that carve out a niche in that great sandstone wall of life, as I like to describe it. They climb up into their little niche, up into their little cave, and then they wall themselves in with specialized knowledge and specialized tools, and they hang out their shingle. But they wall themselves in with their language. Much of what we know and understand as the mystery religions came about just that way, when someone was able to figure out the precession of the equinoxes and could sit down and do math and make hypotheses in that direction once Pythagoras started to get going, and once the Archimedes came in on the scene and all of the rest. Leonardo da Vinci and others, you know, some of the painters, the things that they were able to do with various composites, if you will, various making different colors and their different styles, and they hide their knowledge from others. Some even think that, I think it was Da Vinci, was able to come up with photographics in his day, long suppressed and hidden from view. But the lawyers, the doctors, you know, the medical profession, all of this right up till today, everyone carves out they carve out a niche. Then they climb in and they wall themselves in. Are you a niche builder? Are you inside of a clothes shop? Even the unions, the carpenters, the masons, the bricklayers, of course, you know, all of them, protected by unions and stuff, they carve out niches. But these niches do not really create an equality of opportunity situation. They create the equality of outcome. The union doesn't increase the amount of people that can be carpenters or laborers or tradesmen. No, on the opposite. They reduce the number of people that can be in those trades, and then they increase the wages of that. And it becomes like a closed circle, like sharks feeding. So we need to be aware of that. so many of the things that people clamor for. You have to be careful in this world. Choices have consequences. Be careful of what you wish for. Be careful what you set your heart on. You might get it. And then what are you going to do? So much in this. We've got a couple of minutes left here. Not very many. Let's go over here and start a little bit of this. Maybe we can get a couple of these done. This is, in case you are not aware of it, the Socialist Platform of 1928. This is an appendix in the, added as part of the appendix or the appendices in this book by the Friedmans. This is the Socialist Platform of 1928. Here, the economic planks of the Socialist Party Platform of 1928, along with an indication in parentheses of how these planks have fared. The list that follows includes every economic plank, but not the full language of each. The author states, now here's number one. See how many of these are already in place, and we're just going to run the hour out on these, all right? Follow along. Nationalization of our natural resources, beginning with the coal mines and water sites, particularly at Boulder Dam and Muscle Shoals. Now, Boulder Dam was renamed Hoover Dam, and Muscle Shoals are now both federal government projects. Number two, a publicly owned giant power system under which the federal government shall cooperate with the states and municipalities in the distribution of electrical energy to the people at cost. And here, the Tennessee Valley Authority answered that. Three, national ownership and the democratic management of the railroads and other means of transportation and communication. And here, railroad passenger service is completely nationalized through Amtrak. Some freight service is nationalized through Conrail. The FCC controls communications by telephone, telegraph, radio, and television. One after the next, folks. 1928, the Socialist Platform. It's in place. Number five. Number four, an adequate national program for flood control, flood relief, reforestation, irrigation, and reclamation. Can you say FEMA? Government expenditures for these purposes are currently in the many billions of dollars. Here's number five. Immediate governmental relief of the unemployed by the extension of all public works and a program of long-range planning of public works. In 1930s, the WPA and the PWA were direct counterparts. The madness continues. We'll be back again tomorrow. I hope you'll see us then. And until then, have a great day.
Taking it back, one precinct, one county, one state at a time. You've been listening to Become Vocal Local.
They say that you could travel the world without leaving your home through the pages of a book. Adventures Unlimited brings you all the adventures that you could imagine when you travel through the pages of their books. Adventures Unlimited carries an eclectic diversity of subjects such as alternative health and science, free energy, ancient history, Native American studies, and much, much more. Get away from the daily grind, unwind, and feed your mind to free your mind. Explore any topic you wish at AdventuresUnlimitedPress.com. They're not only an online bookstore, but have stores located around the world and have been in business for over two decades. Adventures Unlimited Press, your own world of information is only a page away.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.